want to welcome you to this really unique time of worship wherever you might be. We're thankful that you are joining with us. We encourage you, sing along as we have some musical worship together. We're going to have a message in just a little bit, but we are just really glad to have this opportunity, even though we can't be together physically in person, to share this time together digitally. So welcome and prepare your hearts for worship.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the light, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. And we are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord. Our God, our conqueror.
I will sing.
Oh, I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. Surrender, no retreat. We are free and we're redeemed. We will declare over despair, you are the hope. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Nothing is impossible.
Oh, nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious.
Oh, nothing.
Oh, nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God. Oh, we are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire. the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Amen. And that song was really chosen for a time such as this. We were thinking, talking, and praying this week about the need to not be overcome by fear at a time like this. In Romans chapter 8, where sort of that inspiration for that song comes from, we read these words: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think about passages in Scripture and stories when people are told to not be afraid, to have no fear. One of my favorites is that story in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elijah and his servant are surrounded. There is a king who is pretty upset with Elijah and has him surrounded by all sorts of troops. And I'm sure in that moment, Elijah and his servant were looking around, wondering what would come next, wondering what to do. Because these horses and chariots, we read that there is a strong force there that had surrounded the city. Picking it up in verse 15, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked of Elijah. And the prophet answered, 'Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And then Elijah prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire." In times like this, when we have to give up meeting together for a while, it can be really easy to become afraid. When we read reports and accounts of all that has happened, all that is happening, and what might happen, it can be very easy to give in to fear. And so we want to remind you today that in Christ you are more than a conqueror, that there is no need to be afraid, that there is nothing in all of creation, not today and not tomorrow, that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And I want to encourage you to ask God to open your eyes so that you might be able to see, know, and feel His presence, even in the midst of times that might be full of anxiety, discomfort, and maybe even leaning into fear. Pray and ask God to open your eyes, because I promise you that His presence surrounding you is greater than anything else in this world, any other power in this world. We are not slaves to sin, and we are not slaves to fear, because we have been reconciled, we have been purchased, we have been redeemed. And so we can continue to celebrate that today.
You sing with me. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. You split the sea. Oh. You split the sea so I could walk. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God. Lord, take that fear from us. Thank you for walking beside us, for calling us your children. Amen. And this next song that we're going to do together has a theme of service, which we're going to be talking about in a little bit. I love the chorus. It says, Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. So open up my eyes and wonder. And this next part, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And all that is going on right now with the coronavirus gives us actually, as the church, a wonderful opportunity to love our community, to serve our community, to touch our community, and to show the face of Jesus to those who might not know him. So let's make that our prayer this morning, that the Lord would show us who he is and fill us with his heart and lead us in his love to those around us. He's worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Sing it. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes, dear wonder, and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. We sing it, holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Build our lives upon the love of the Lord. He is a firm foundation. Let's believe that. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Let's trust. I will put my trust in you alone. Beside you, so open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lead us, God. Fill us, Lord, with your heart. Dear Lord, thank you for filling us with your heart, being willing to fill us with your heart. We pray that you would do so this morning and lead us into our communities and into the world, especially during times of unrest. And we know that you are our firm foundation, and we pray that we would not be shaken, Lord, that we would be standing strong as your church in faith and in trust that you will provide. I know that that strikes a chord with me as we think about the future of the church and all the implications of what we're going through now as a community. You will provide. You will provide for our church. You will provide needs in the community. We just need to trust you and have faith that that will be true and come together as a community to build each other up, to lift each other up, and to be the hands and feet of Christ to the world and to the community as you are calling us to in this time. May we be a major presence for your kingdom right now in Salem, Ohio. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, First Friends family. This is weird, I will say, coming to you digitally this morning, but we are excited to be doing so. Pete asked me to preach this week several weeks back, and I think that he thought it was going to be a lighter week for him.
Thought it'd be smooth sailing this week. Not
and,
so much.
That did not turn out to be the case. So I felt weird and awkward just sitting up here by myself looking out to a sea of empty pews. So I actually invited Pete to sit at this table with me, and we're going to do a little bit more of an interactive sermon this morning for you, so we're excited about that. First things first, though, should we let the kids go?
Kids, at this time, you are now released to the Kid Connection that is also not happening.
Yeah. And then the last thing I did want to mention before we get started is that today is actually my beautiful fiance's birthday. So make sure to send her a text or a Facebook message if you have the time today and wish her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Beth.
Yeah. So, I felt like I had to do that.
You did.
So anyways, we have been going through this series called The Walk Now for, this is our third week. And it's been really, really good. It's been really cool, at least up until this point. A lot of the ABFs in our church have been able to go alongside with this study and enhance that study through group discussion and accountability and things like that, and it's been really cool. And so the first week was worship and prayer, and the second week was study. And so this week we are going to talk about service, serving the people around you, serving those in your community, serving people wherever you go. So this morning I want to do three things. I want to look at what it means to define service. I want to look at what it means to embody service. And I want to look at what it means to be commissioned to service. And throughout this message, I'm going to be asking Pete a few questions just to get his thoughts and ideas as well. So let's think about service as we define it. When you think about the word service, several things can maybe come to our minds. Maybe the idea of a service worker, those who wait on you or help you or assist you when you go out to eat. We could think of, you know, what we're at least attempting to do right now, in holding, you know, a religious, a Christian service, or we could think about service in terms of helping those who are in need, and that's the one that I want to get into today. The prophet Micah in the Old Testament had this to say as he spoke some harsh words to the people of Israel who had neglected to prioritize service in their daily walk with God. This is from Micah 6:6-8. He says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Now, I am not a fish, so I don't know what it's like to be going about my business, swimming along, and suddenly yanked out of what I know to be comfortable by a hook and a fishing pole. But whenever I read these words, the feeling I get is close to what I imagine that is like. See, what Micah is speaking about here is priorities. He is asking Israel in a rhetorical sense, do you prioritize serving others? Do you prioritize a life centered around justice, this idea of making sure that everyone is treated equally. Do you prioritize a life centered around loving mercy? The idea that making sure that we show forgiveness and work towards reconciliation. And do you prioritize a life grounded in humility as you walk with God? And I think the reason why these words make me feel like that fish so much is actually from the opening remarks. Micah is talking about bowing down before God, and that's a great posture to have. And he talks about all sorts of offering of sacrifices to the Lord, which was a big part of their worship experience. That was how they worshiped back in the day, was to offer sacrifices. But the thing is, these don't seem to capture the full scope of how God desires us to live. Even though these things are great and we should pursue them, we should pursue bowing down to God, having that posture of humility. We should pursue, you know, regularly being part of worship experiences. I think what Micah is trying to communicate is if we do all those things yet ignore the call of God to love and to serve those who are hurting, broken, and marginalized, it is all in vain. Our faith is shared. It is flesh and blood, and we are bound up together on this journey. A couple weeks ago, Pete and Andy and I attended the Exponential Conference in Orlando. It was part of our pastor's conference. It was a really great conference, lots of great speakers. But there was one speaker in particular, his name was Albert Tate, and he said something that really hit me hard and stuck with me. He asked this question, are you more concerned about your own brand, or do you have a burden for the people in your community? And he was talking from the perspective of actually church planting. Are you looking to just put a brand out there, or do you actually have a burden for the people in your community? But I think that applies to more than just church planting. It applies to us as churches already established and individuals as well. Are we more concerned about our own brand? Are we more concerned about how we are perceived? Are we more concerned about that perception of us, you know, worshiping well or praying well or how devout we are? Or do we have a deep burden to the core of our being, deep in our bones, that aches when people are crying out for help and no one is there to answer the call? Does it hurt you to see people work tirelessly at dead-end minimum wage jobs and still can't afford housing and health care? Does it hurt you to see kids whose only meals might come from those provided to them by their schools? And with COVID-19, that's going to be an even bigger burden for some of these families. Did it hurt you to see Freshmark raided and the results of that being that children and spouses were unsure of whether or not the family provider was coming home? Does that hurt you to see the people? And this isn't just out in the world somewhere. These are things that happen here in Salem. Does it hurt you to see the people in our community who are suffering? And I will say, I am actually really proud. Because a couple years ago, when that thing happened at Freshmark, our church community, other church communities, and our Salem community as a whole responded with thousands of pounds of food, with diapers, with essentials, that bought time for the affected families while they were able to sort it all out. This is what a burden looks like. This is what service looks like. It is to be mindful of those around us and their needs, and to sacrificially meet them whenever we can. And I will say, service, sometimes we can get inflated egos when we do really great things in the community. So I want to say, service is not about being the Savior, but service is about serving the Savior. And serving in humility, not needing recognition for when you have done something to help your neighbor. So I want to ask Pete the first question for this morning. Pete, do you see in other places of Scripture where serving others is a focal point?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting to look at the book of Acts, for instance, and you see in the book of Acts the church as it grows, as the gospel is proclaimed, as the gospel moves. We don't just get a record of what happened in their church services. We don't just get essentially a collection of church bulletins, if you will, saying, here's what happened in the church, here's what happened during worship. And certainly they did those things. I mean, it's clear if you read especially Acts chapter 2, they got together, they broke bread, they worshiped, they prayed. But the book of Acts is also about how they continued to share the gospel and embody the gospel. They loved their world. They loved their community. They brought healing to people as they did so. And so I think that's another great place where you can say there was value on being together religiously and practicing spirituality and growth in Christ. But really, it was also tied to the idea of going out and serving the world around them. And the early church in the book of Acts grows like crazy. And I think it's because they are both obedient and faithful to God while at the same time loving and serving those around them.
Yeah. And that's a really great point. And just to make sure we're clear, you know, worship and service is not an either or thing. It's a both and. So when we emphasize service, we're not de-emphasizing worship. They are both important, and they are both key elements to the Christian faith. So let's talk a little bit about service being embodied. When we think about that, when we think about what it means to embody service, I think it can be really quite simple. The idea is simple, but the living it out is where it gets challenging.
Amen.
So there was a moment where Jesus was questioned by the Sadducees and the Pharisees about which law is the greatest to follow, and he gave them two. And this is the recollection of that interaction in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So when I read these words, I think about the Good Samaritan passage, the Good Samaritan story. There was a man, as many of you know this, who was left beaten to an inch of his life on one of the most dangerous and highly traveled roads at the time. And it recalls two people who chose to pass by because of various reasons. However, the Samaritan did all he could to help this man. He took pity on him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He took him to an inn, paid for his stay, and continued to take care of him. And I want to make sure we all know this. This was not convenient for the Samaritan. He was likely on his way to do something else. So think of this in the context. If you're trying to picture yourself in the story and what you would do, think of yourself like on the way to work or on your way to the grocery store or something like that. Like you had other plans. This was not convenient for the Samaritan. It was not planned. It cost him both time and money. He was not prepared in the sense that he did not wake up that day thinking, yeah, I'm going to help a beaten and bloodied man. However, he was prepared in his heart because he had already postured his life around the commands to love God and to love others. We don't simply embody our love for God and others when we come to church or when we go on mission trips. It is not compartmentalized. We do it in our everyday lives. Wherever you go, there you are. And you have an opportunity to live out both of these commands. Wherever you go, there you are. And you have an opportunity to have a mindset and a lifestyle that embodies service. We must first examine the minutiae of our everyday lives and ask ourselves questions like, you know, am I practicing good habits that orient my life around God's way of love? And when we are mindful and reflective of these things, service is not simply something we do. But like the Samaritan, it pours out of us as a natural reaction to suffering. So Pete, I want to ask you, what are some good practices that help us to embody service in our everyday lives, the way of love from God?
Yeah, great question. I think if we want to be attentive day to day and hour by hour and moment by moment, to those nudges from the Holy Spirit to serve those around us, really we first have to be formed and have our hearts softened to hear the voice of God. And I think one of the best ways to do that is through the practice of spiritual practices, spiritual formation type things, like prayer and fasting. And solitude and silence. And I think in those times when we use those practices and the Holy Spirit uses those things as we engage in them, we are softening our hearts to be able to hear the Spirit of God speak to us. And I think it's as we have softened hearts and we take our softened hearts into our world, into our communities, we then have the ability to hear that little whisper, to feel that little nudge when God shows us or tells us that there is a person on this side or on that side, or a person in front of us or behind us who desperately needs something. It may be some form of, you know, service like the Good Samaritan where somebody is physically hurting. It may be simply a word of encouragement to somebody who seems to be absolutely down and disturbed. But I think as we engage those spiritual practices, our hearts become sort of a softened seedbed for God to plant within us those desires from Him for us to be His servants in the world around us.
That's a good answer. So the last thing we want to talk about this morning is what it means to be commissioned for service. So even, you know, when we are able to define what service looks like and strive to embody it in our everyday lives, I personally think one of the biggest inhibiting factors in serving others is we tend to feel unworthy of that calling. That call to service, in some of our minds we may be thinking that, oh, that's just for pastors or, you know, leaders or whatever. But I'll let you in on a little secret. Pastors feel unworthy most of the time too. So.
Amen.
I figured that was going to get the loudest amen from you. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you and myself with these words from Isaiah 6, 5 through 8. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Isaiah probably felt pretty unqualified and unworthy himself. Yet God chose to send him to be a prophet to the people of unclean lips. One of my professors from Malone, way back in the day, I can say that now, right? I'm like 7 or 8 years graduated from Malone.
Well, you're almost 30.
Yeah.
And well, so that's getting up there. So you can talk about back in the day all you want.
Yeah. So one of my professors from Malone, way back in the day, would tell us over and over, God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. And I believe God has called each one of us for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Each one of you is called to work and to serve in the kingdom because you are a unique individual that is made in God's image and God's likeness. And I believe if you open yourself up, God will use you. But like the Samaritan and like Isaiah, our hearts must be prepared to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." We don't have to be sent, you know, on elaborate mission trips to foreign countries. We don't have to work in churches. We don't have to start nonprofits to be used by God. We can simply be sent into our everyday lives with an intentional lifestyle that embodies service and love. Wherever you go, there you are. Right now, with this COVID-19 pandemic, is actually a great opportunity for the church to help with those who are in need. This crisis will inevitably hurt the poor and the marginalized more than anyone else. Those who might not have access to healthcare will be financially crippled to even see a doctor. Those who might not have easy access to food will struggle to get it. Those who are without homes will struggle with being able to quarantine themselves. There are a lot of things that we often take for granted, and we need to be mindful and intentional with those during this crisis and how we can help. And so our church is going to be working on ways, and we will get this information out to you over the next week or so. We are going to be working on ways to partner with local organizations to help people who will be in desperate need over the coming months. And I would implore all of us to do what we can to help those who will be suffering in our community. This is a great time for all of us as a church to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send us. Send us to do your work in the Salem community so that we can help anyone who has a need." But beyond that, Adam Hamilton, in his book, if you're just in general, you know, struggling to figure out ways that you can serve, Adam Hamilton had a really cool suggestion in the book of The Walk. You know, if you don't know where to start, he said, "Try to be intentional with an act of kindness at least 5 times a week. So not even every day. Just do something nice or kind for someone else. Very small, very simple. Could even just be holding the door for somebody. And what's crazy about that, with a church our size, generally around, we'll say 250, even though it might be a little more than that. But if we use the number 250, if each person did 5 acts of kindness every week, that would be 65,000 acts of kindness in a year. And that number blew me away. 65,000 acts of service, acts of kindness. And by simply being obedient in this way, can you imagine the ripple effects this would have for the kingdom of God? It's crazy. So Pete, I want to ask you one more question. Can you speak to the idea that we are all sent to serve, even though we may not be called to be pastors or leaders or missionaries, but in the everyday sense of the term, we are all called to serve. So can you speak on that just a little bit and what that might look like?
Yeah, as you were talking and reading from Isaiah, you know, here I am, send me, and the fact that we are all sent, not just some of us, not just like the Christian all-stars, I was thinking about and started reading a little bit from Luke chapter 10, and the heading says, Jesus sends out the disciples, which I think we immediately believe, all right, it was the 12 guys, but it says right away, the Lord chose 72. So not just the 12, like this was something that was for all of Jesus' followers. And so he sends them out to do ministry, right? In these harvest fields that he talks about. And I find it interesting that he uses both the idea of whenever you enter someone's home or enter a town, both kind of the big, when you enter a town, look for opportunities, and in the small, when you enter into an individual's home, look for opportunities to love and to serve them. And he gave them this command in the midst of Luke chapter 10, and I love it that it's a both and. He said, proclaim the kingdom of God. Say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you. And in the same verse, he says, and heal the sick. So proclaim the goodness, the reign, the kingdom of God, but also love and serve them. Find out what their needs are and bring healing and hope to their needs. And we read that eventually they return to him in verse 17, the 72 come back, and they joyfully reported to him all the things that had happened. They said, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. You know, reporting back to Jesus that they were able to bring healing, freedom, and hope to so many people as they went out to love and serve those communities that Jesus would then soon visit and continue to sow the seeds of the kingdom. And I think that's a great reminder that we are all sent. Every Jesus follower is a sent person.
That's great. So before I close us, close this time out in prayer, I have 3 reflection questions for you to mull over for just a moment or so. The first is this: do you have a burden for those in our community and the world who are suffering? What abilities and or resources do you have to help? Number 2, are you mindful of those around you? Does your heart have the capacity to serve wherever you are? And then 3, to where or to whom are you being sent? If you do not know, ask the Spirit to guide you. So let's take just a moment, and we will, and I will pray here after we spend just a little bit of time in silence. God, I am grateful, even in the midst of the crisis, because you are good. And so, God, we pray for everyone who is already affected, for everyone who will be affected by COVID-19 and everything that goes along with that, not just for their health, but for their ability to be treated and to have enough food and resources to get by during that time. God, I pray for us as a community that we would recognize that we are bound together in this journey. We are not alone, and we need each other. Even when we can't be together, God, we are bound together, and I'm grateful for that. And I would pray that our Salem community, our church community, would take on this challenge that is before us, to take care of the sick and the needy and those who have no options but to turn to someone else to help them. And God, that may be some of us at some point. And so God, I pray that we would have open hearts and have an open capacity to serve our neighbors well during this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we're going to have a closing song today that really ties in to that idea of being a sent person, of being available, of saying to God, here am I, Lord, send me. So if you know it, you're welcome to sing along, obviously. But if you don't, just listen to the words today. Allow them to minister to you and be part of the way God is sending you into our world.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will say. I have made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame, I will set a feast for them, my hand will sing. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will change the words to this last chorus from if you lead me to when you lead me, because we know that God is leading us all the time, and we're praying for discernment that we might hear what he has for us and that we might follow his lead. One more time, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, when you lead, when you lead me. Yes, I will hold your people in my heart. Yes, I will hold your people in my heart.
Amen. Before we conclude, one of the things we typically do when you are all in here with us instead of out there watching on a screen is we collect the offering. We have an offertory song. And I want to take an opportunity to remind you that there are still opportunities to give and that our church is still in need of your generosity. We still have bills coming in. We still have expenses. And so I want to invite you, if you already use our Easy Tithe electronic giving, please continue to do that. If you've never done it yet, but you heard about it and thought you might want to give it a try, now's a great time. There is a button on our website that just says Give Now, and you can follow the steps there. Or if you're somebody who typically does something, you know, physically in the offering plate and you want to stick to that, we would just encourage you to consider how you might be able to continue to share your generosity with our church family and with the world by sending via mail your tithes and offerings in here to the church office, and that information, that address is on our church website as well, 1028 Jennings Avenue here in Salem. So with all of that being said, we are so thankful that you have joined us for this time, this unique experience. Look for more in the future as far as how we go forward from here. We do anticipate that there will probably be more than one Sunday that we need to do this as things continue to unfold. But just stay tuned. Check out Facebook. Check out your email. And we will try to get you that information as soon as we possibly can as we continue to walk forward during this time together. So, amen. And as you go into your world today, remember that you have the opportunity to be sent by Jesus to declare the good news of the gospel and to embody that good news by loving and serving those around you. Amen. And go in God's grace whenever you go.
Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, when you lead me. I will hold your people in.